1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. The Apostle Peter here is bringing to a close his letter to the Christians scattered throughout Asia Minor. And in doing so, he is in the midst of making a final statement concerning life under God in this world. He brings together the great themes of Christian suffering and the doctrine of Almighty God. But Peter also adds to these two great themes of Scripture the work of our adversary, the devil. And again, in weaving together these three themes of the doctrine of Almighty God, Christian suffering, and the work of the devil, the Apostle Peter is showing us what life under God in this world is all about. And if you haven't noticed prior to today, you may perhaps glean that I myself have come to some conviction concerning this particular theme. It seems to me imperative that we understand what life under God in this world is all about. It seems to me to be imperative that we have the perspective that Peter brings to us. We must understand the relationship between Almighty God, our adversary the devil, and the sufferings we experience. And friends in the Lord Jesus Christ, to grasp this relationship is to come to grips with life under God in this world. And this is what Peter has been talking about in his letter. He has been laboring to bring before us the grace of Almighty God as it is poured out in the midst of the experiences of this life. If you look at the 12th verse in chapter 5, Peter says that this has been his purpose. He says, "I have written you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it." And so when we come to this latter part of verse 9, Peter draws the strands of his discussion together. First, he speaks of suffering, and he says very clearly, "The same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." And secondly, Peter speaks of this suffering in connection with our adversary, the devil. If you look at verse 9 again, you see the connection. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Peter is telling us that suffering and the work of the devil go together. And third, Peter speaks of suffering and the work of our adversary, the devil, in the context of the plans and purposes of God. Everything that occurs in the world occurs under the supervision of the mighty hand of God. And this is the lesson that is to be learned, to be really understood if we are to come to grips with life under God in this world. And so Peter once again brings before us that familiar theme of suffering. Look at verse 9 again. He says, "The same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." Now, what are these experiences of suffering? These afflictions, as the King James Version puts it. These are the experiences that Peter's readers have, are, and will undergo. Look, for example, at chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor
If for the sake of conscience towards God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. These people suffered unjustly at the hands of their employers. Not uncommon, is it? And look at chapter 3, verse 14. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Here are those who were abused for standing up for what they knew was right. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. And in all of this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. Here are people who refused to run with the crowd into sin, and they were abused because of it. And then, of course, there is chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Fiery ordeals came upon these people to test their faith. And you may recall that these fiery ordeals are a burning process, a testing by fire. These fiery ordeals are a burning process, a foretaste, if you will, of the judgment which is to come upon the world at the end of the age. And these fiery ordeals involve plagues of diseases, famine. They involve natural disasters such as earthquake and flood. And these fiery ordeals involve the heartbreak and the mourning that are associated with these things. Again, I think we can simply say that the suffering Peter is talking about includes the full range of human tragedy. They are the trials, the temptations, the ordeals being experienced by those who read Peter's letter. And not only so, they are the same afflictions. You notice this in the text. The same afflictions being experienced by all Christians everywhere. Is this not what Peter tells us? The same experiences of suffering are being accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Notice that Peter speaks of your brethren who are in the world. The word Peter uses here is interesting to say the least. It has to do with the collective body of God's people. And that's what Peter is talking about. The very same word is used in chapter 2, verse 17, where Peter says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. The word may be translated brotherhood. And the emphasis is upon the great body of Christ, the brotherhood of believers, the brotherhood of the church. And what Peter is saying is that the same afflictions you suffer are experienced by Christians everywhere and in the church everywhere. As the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes has said, there is nothing new under the sun. And as the Apostle Paul has said, no temptation has overcome you but such as is common to man. Your brethren in the world experience the same afflictions as you do. And you see, there is a commonness among us. No experience, no trial, no temptation is unique to you alone, to me alone. There is a commonness among us all as Christians regarding our experiences. And the reason that this is the case, is that we are all in the world together. Look at the latter part of verse 9 again. The same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. As long as we remain in the world, we are going to share common anxieties, common afflictions. Jesus said it very plainly. He said, in the world you have tribulation. Tribulation and anxiety and suffering are going to cease only when God, in His providence, takes us out of the world. And so we share common afflictions, the same afflictions, with Christians everywhere. And that should bring us a great deal of comfort, I think, as we look at our lives. But again now, Peter adds another dimension in our text. The added dimension is that of the devil. Let's read verses 8 and 9 together. Peter says, "Be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren in the world." Do you see the link? Peter is saying, resist the devil, holding dear a certain knowledge, having certain knowledge. And the kind of knowledge that Peter is talking about here is knowledge that comes by sight, that comes as a result of firsthand experience. The people that Peter is talking to here know. They know by firsthand experience, not because Peter is telling them, but they know by firsthand experience that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished in their brethren in the world. And it's important for them to grasp that. And Peter's reminding them of that in this particular text. You know, there's nothing like seeing someone else suffer to throw perspective on our own lives. For instance, to see a loved one suffer the agonizing death of cancer can really throw perspective on the mundane things that we go through in this life. And that's what Peter's getting at here. Peter's reminding his readers that they know that the same things they go through are being experienced by their brothers and sisters in the world. But notice again that this firsthand knowledge is tied to the exhortation to resist the devil. Look at it again. "But resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." What Peter is saying is very simple. The devil stands behind suffering. To put it another way, suffering occurs through the agency of the work of the devil. And again, we can see this truth emphasized in various parts of the Bible. Take, for example, Job and his suffering. Job 2:7 says, "Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." And there are examples in the New Testament also. In Luke 13, for instance, we see Jesus heal a woman afflicted with certain sickness for the period of 18 years. And Jesus explains, "Satan has bound her for 18 long years." And then, too, we come to the suffering of Jesus at the hands of his disciples. Do you remember how Peter rebuked Jesus and gave Jesus a good tongue lashing? And what was the response of Jesus? "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus knew that the tongue of Peter, as James tells us, was set on fire by hell. And then why did Judas Iscariot? Why did he betray the Lord Jesus for a bag full of money? The Bible is very clear. The devil put it into the heart of Judas to betray him. And you see, the point is, he is just as much the accuser of the brethren today as he was in Peter's day. He puts it into the hearts of men and women to oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ just as much today as he did in Peter's day.
And he is able just as much today to smite with disease as he was in Peter's day. He is just as real an adversary today, a spiritual adversary today, as he was in Peter's day. And he must be taken seriously. And the fact that he is the one who brings, who is the agent of suffering, must be taken seriously. But now our text brings us very forcefully a third dimension. The power of God. Look again at the specific words at the end of verse 9. The same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Now that's the New American Standard Version. The King James Version gives us a better rendering. It says, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. Do you get the force of the words here? What Peter is telling us is very plain. Suffering is not accomplished by Christians. Suffering is accomplished in Christians by someone else. That's what Peter is trying to tell us. The word which is translated accomplished in our text means brought to completion. Brought to perfection, fulfilled. In other words, suffering, certain experiences of affliction must be accomplished, fulfilled in the lives of Christians. It's as though there were a great master plan, and that master plan concerning affliction must be accomplished. And of course, there is a master plan, isn't there? It's the plan of Almighty God. And this is the plan which covers everything in the universe, from the smallest thing to the largest thing. Of this plan, David said, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of his heart from generation to generation. And of God, of this same God, the Apostle Paul says, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. There is nothing that stands outside of the all-comprehensive plan of Almighty God. And my friends in Christ, this means that the sufferings of Christians are also within the compass of the plan of Almighty God. This is a tremendous biblical lesson, and is one that we must get straight. God says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming darkness and creating light, creating well-being, causing well-being, and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all of these things. Yes, God causes well-being. He creates calamity. And he does these things in perfect accordance with his plans and his purposes. And because this is true, you and I will face difficulties in this life. Listen to what Paul says. Through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom of heaven. He says in another place, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And even in the midst, you see, of tribulation, we must realize that we are under the mighty hand of God. And not only so, we must realize that the devil can do nothing except that which is in accordance with the plan of God. Our adversary, the devil, you see, is bound in that fashion. Look at the afflictions of Job again. Look at the things that happened in his life. His possessions taken away. Camels, oxen, donkeys, his children. And before any of those things took place, the Lord said to Satan, all that he has is in your power. And then before Satan smote Job with those boils all over his body, the Lord said to Satan, Behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. In other words, you can go this far and no further. That's it. And Satan did nothing to Job, and he can do nothing to us that is not strictly controlled by God himself. The devil himself, in other words, is controlled by the all-comprehensive plan of Almighty God. Now let's pull some of this together. Attempt to do so anyway. When we began our discussion, we said that Peter was trying to tell us about life under God in this world. And to understand Peter again is imperative. To grasp what Peter has to say is imperative. For us to have a handle on what the Holy Spirit is teaching us through the pen of Peter is to give us a handle upon life itself. Life in this world, Peter says, first of all again, is going to involve suffering. We are, as Christians, going to suffer various trials and afflictions in various intensities. And Christians everywhere suffer the same experiences. This is what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. And we need to get that lesson straight. We need to get it straight. Because if we do not get that lesson straight, it can only lead to self-pity and bitterness and defeat. And second, suffering comes through the agency of our adversary, the devil. And we need to get that lesson straight also. The spiritual adversary we have is very great, very real, very cunning. And it is only when we take seriously the work of our adversary, the devil, that we can really see the greatness and the glory of the victory that Christ Jesus has given to us. And we're going to speak about that next time, the Lord willing. That victory is not fully worked out in our lives, but it will be. And that victory will be worked out as we stand firm in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. That's why Peter says, stand firm in the faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. But then third, we must see that the sufferings which come upon us through the agency of the devil are accomplished according to the plan of God. Why do we experience affliction? Why does the devil bring trials? The plan of God calls for these things. They are to be accomplished in the brethren, Peter says. And because this is true, my friends, nothing is out of control. Nothing. Hallelujah. It may seem at times to be out of control, but everything in our lives is in perfect control. Everything in the events around us is in perfect control. And we don't see it all the time, and we don't understand it all the time, because such knowledge is too high, it's too wonderful for us. We can't attain to it, as David says. But thanks be to God, he reveals this knowledge to us in his word. And we need to get this basic biblical lesson down in our hearts. Because when we do, we'll have a better understanding of life under God in this world. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, not an easy thing that we have talked about. And Father, as we have discussed it in this book of 1 Peter, perhaps pretty repetitious,
But Lord, it's there. Because we need that lesson. Each of us. And grant that we might learn the truths that we've spoken of in these short minutes. That we might rejoice fully in the fact that indeed you are our God. Bless us, each one, to that end. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.